thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
How goes the fight spiritually in your life? When I was first asked and I took the position of being head of school at Coramdale Academy, I wrote a letter to the parents and to the students and the staff and by way of introduction, and I used this concept, this idea that we are engaged in a battle, and I had a parent write, say, "You shouldn't use words like that. It's too aggressive, it puts people in a difficult spot, it makes you appear as though you are different than others and that there's sides." Yes, indeed there is. And we are engaged in a battle, and you and I are engaged in a battle. Do you see that? Do you sense that in your life? And has Satan, maybe, has he discouraged you, and has he convinced you to just put down the Bible and just go the way of the world? And by the way, you just look at all these other professed Christians around me. Yes, they'll go to church for a couple hours on a Sunday. Maybe even if they're really dedicated, they'll go on a Wednesday night for an hour of extra Bible study. Those are the really dedicated ones. But you live the rest of your life, and it looks just the same, and it acts just the same. And you just say, it just doesn't matter. I'm just going to give up, apparently. It's not possible. Apparently, my circumstances make it so that I cannot serve God, that I cannot be the person that God has called me to be. And Paul is here, and in this book of Philippians, all the way through it, but especially here, he is saying to us, things are not always what they appear to be. In fact, when we think it's the darkest, as has been said so many times, is that not the opportunity for us to shine the brightest? There are people that God has in our future, I believe, that He would have us to impact. Giving up must not be in our vocabulary when it comes to following Christ in our lives. I found this and I chuckled at it. But there's so much here in this phrase. There was a black church has this. It's in Kansas City, according to what I read. And this is one of the signs that they have in their church. Wake up, sing up, preach up, pray up, and pay up. But never give up, or let up, or back up, or shut up until the cause of Christ in this church and in the world is built up. I chuckled at that. But at the same time, it's that concern and that drives and never give up. One of the strongest defenses against giving up is always to remember that things are not what they appear to be. Not always, and in fact, probably most of the time. They're not always what they appear to be. God is faithful. He will walk with us. Our tears, our labor, our efforts, God notes them. He knows every tear that has fallen from your eye. He knows every hour that is spent in His Word and with Him in prayer and in agony and in burdensome times of life. He knows absolutely every one of them, and He will use them to mold you and shape you into what He wants you to become if you don't give up. If you don't give up. Those that don't yet know Him, if you must not give up seeking after Him, looking for Him, striving to find Him, and the peace that He wants to give you in forgiveness. You cannot give up. You must never give up. No matter how desperate that the hour might seem to be in your case, you must never, ever give up. I read a story about a man who died serving his country on this Memorial Day. Read this story about him, and he died on the battlefield, and there was a man there who was with him when he died, and the soldier that died said, "Tell my mother that I died happy." And the man said, "I will absolutely tell her that. Is there anything else, any other message?" It was clear he was going to die. "Is there any other message for anyone else that you want me to bring back?" And he said, "Yeah, tell my Sunday school teacher that I've never forgotten the things that she taught me, and that I died knowing the Lord, that I was a believer, that I was a Christian. Could you please tell her that? And he said, yeah, I'll tell her that when I get back. He gets back and he looked her up and he found this lady. And this lady, he tells her this story. And a month or two before, she had resigned her position, saying that there was just no results. No impact. She didn't seem to be that her work was doing any good, that she was, with the time that she spent, and we think about that and we wonder how many hours were spent in preparing those lessons, and then this message comes to her. How many hours, by the way, did this soldier's mom, we just speculate, of course, but that as a parent, when we hear this, that you never want to hear this, that your child has died, but the message was he died happy, he knew the Lord. Is there any greater message to receive than that, that he died, but he's with God now? Things are not always what they appear to be. This is not an hour of only destitution and only heartache and only pain. This is an hour of rejoicing because this one is now with God. But how many nights, how many did this Sunday school teacher spend preparing her lessons? How many hours of rest and leisure for herself did she sacrifice? How many years might that labor and sacrifice appear to have gone unnoticed and without any impact? How many times did that lady's lessons, did it end with little kids shuffling out of the room as fast as they possibly could because they're just kids? And how many times, I wonder, would she think at the end of the lesson, why? Things were not always what they appeared to be. Because those things were lodging into the hearts of some, at least, and at least one. In our lives, as we live them for Christ, we just cannot forget that things in our life, they're just not always what they appear. And this will be a battle that I don't believe will ever fully overcome until we leave this life altogether. These thoughts, again, the Lord has been working in my own heart. Paul knew this lesson perhaps better than any other person outside of Christ himself, at least that we have such a written record of. Think about Paul's life. Think about Paul's life. If you've never diligently studied the book of Acts, I encourage you to begin to do it. Look at his life. Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, threatened, mocked. I mean, left everything that he knew in the Judaistic religion, in the Jewish religion, and became a follower of this one who he had persecuted, and all that turned against him. And the very people that he had a heart to see saved were the ones who were putting him in prison and stoning him, and shouting that he be put to death. Look at his life. How easy might it have been for Paul to look around and say, why? Paul knew things were not always what they appeared to be. And he continued to follow the Lord in the midst of these struggles. Think, though, about all the pain, all the struggle he encountered, yet he remained humble and submissive to God. And he did so because he knew that things, again, were not always what they appeared to be, and perhaps rarely were. So I want to ask you this morning to think about your life. Even in a small gathering like this, there are those of us here at various stages of that life. Think about your life, your hopes, your dreams, your fears, and the things you're anxious about, your joys and your pain, your past and your present and your future. And once you have some of these things in your mind's eye, I want you then to understand that each of those things may not be what they appear to be if you've not brought them to the Lord and you've not submitted them to God. Relationships, friends, jobs, all of these things that are in our lives, that God has in our lives, if we have not brought them to the Lord, if we have not talked to God about it, for Him to give us a right view of whatever it is, then they may not be what they appear to be. A job that looks really good. A friend that looks like somebody we really enjoy being with. Money that we might make. Things that we might do. Relationships that we might have. All of these things may appear to be good, but if we've not consecrated them and submitted them to God and come to Him and said, Lord, this thing in my life, is it something that pleases You? Because if we don't go to God with the things in our life this way, I'm afraid Satan is going to use it and he's going to put blinders over your eyes and they're not going to be what they appear to be. What did Paul here see that others didn't? What is this that Paul saw that when others saw something, he said, no, that's not what it is. This is what it is. What did he see? Well, first of all, and what is obvious to us as we begin reading, is that this imprisonment that he was undergoing was actually not a hindrance, but an advantage to the gospel and the cause of God. He says, look, I want you to know, brothers, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Though hindering the gospel was no doubt the point and the purpose of those who put Paul into prison, what actually was happening was their very desire to hinder the gospel was used by God to prosper it. It's not what it appeared to be. In the eyes of the world and in human reasoning, though, we would think that the cause of God, the cause of this Christian religion, has suffered a severe blow. Their great champion, Paul, is in prison. He cannot go about freely and talk about this man, Jesus. We have struck a severe blow to this upstart group of people called Christians. Paul says, no, that's not what this is at all. It's not what it appears to be. And he goes on, he says, because listen, the whole imperial guard, the gospel has become known to them. The whole imperial guard was hearing the gospel. He goes on to say, and you know what I've seen and heard about? Is that other brethren have now been emboldened by my imprisonment, and now they speak with great boldness and less fear because of my imprisonment. It's not what it appears to be. Where Satan and those who are against our cause were wanting this to be a hindrance to the gospel, it has only served to advance the gospel. And I want you to think about this. Maybe you've read a book. Certainly, I pray you've read in Scripture and you've observed this. There is something inspiring about watching another believer stand firm in their faith in the Lord, isn't there? When you read about men like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when you read about men like David Livingston, when you read about men like Hudson Taylor, when you read about women and in history, and you read about all of these people who have given their lives, there's something that inspires. It doesn't quench the fire of our faith, it fans it. When we see someone stand up and say, no, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the only way to heaven, and when they give their all, when we are right before God in our own hearts, it does not discourage. Again, it does not quench, but it adds fuel and fans the flame of our own zealousness in serving the Lord. I want to ask you this question. Who has fanned the flame in your life? Who fans it? Don't idolize. Don't hero worship. That's not where I'm going with this. But is there someone or are there people whom God has placed in your life where you go, I wish I could just have a little bit of an insight into their spiritual relationship. It seems so close. They seem to have the very hand of God on their life. And if you're one of God's, I pray and I think that you want that too. And as these people looked at Paul in prison and they began to examine their own lives and they said, he's willing. Why am I not? And rather than hush the other preachers, because that no doubt, again, wouldn't that have been the plan of the enemy? get Paul, put him in prison, not only are we going to shut him up, but we're going to shut all those other people up who look to him. And exactly the opposite happened, because things are not always what they appear to be. Who in your life is inspiring you to greater godliness? Who? I hope somebody is. I hope someone is. I hope in a very weak way, perhaps I do that. I hope that we do that for one another, that we inspire one another to greater godliness in our life. And then I want to ask you another question. Who are you inspiring?
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.